Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
I'm Bob Oakes. 10 years ago, Mark Foster remembers where he was when he heard the World Trade Center had been hit by an airplane.
At the time, I pulled into I was near the Taunton Airport, and I pulled into their lobby and watched it on TV, and I saw the second plane happen real time.
Foster knew immediately he had a role to play. As the leader of Mass Task Force 1, a federal urban search and rescue team based in Beverly, he started the emergency phone tree and prepared to go to New York. One of the people on the phone tree was EMT Anita Arnhem.
I had an early morning appointment, and after that I stopped by my parents' house just to sit down, have a cup of tea. I wasn't going to turn on the TV, but decided, what the heck, I'll turn on the TV. And the first picture I saw was one of the World Trade Centers with smoke pouring out. Saw the second plane hit and realized I can't be here. I need to get my stuff and head up to Beverly.
Soon they were both on their way to New York City in a convoy of about 20 vehicles. They were the first federal responders to the 9/11 disaster.
Prior to 9/11, we were more or less preparing to go to either a hurricane or an earthquake. And on 9/11, the ultimate collapse building scenario occurred. They told us to go to New York about 11:30, I think, was the official notification. And by 4 o'clock, we had the team on the road and we're headed to New York.
You arrived at Ground Zero that night with 10 other people. What were your first impressions? What'd you see?
The lighting was very poor at the time. And the only thing I remember seeing is on Church Street, which is where we eventually set our operation up, the very large pieces, maybe 5 or 6 stories high, of the World Trade Center, the steel columns, were impacted into the street, and they were standing up vertically.
Anita, what did you see? What struck you?
I remember all the dust. There was a lot of dust everywhere. I remember seeing a lot of people standing around. There was a lot of what looked like medical personnel, and they're all just sort of had this look of what do we do now type of expression on their faces. And I know they were probably waiting to treat people. They had set up some areas, and I didn't see a lot of treatment going on. And then I remember also just driving down to New York, seeing a sign says New York City closed. It's a city that never sleeps, so to see that was sort of unusual.
As a medical specialist, did you feel that when you got to work the next day that you would be finding victims to treat?
That was our anticipation. As we were going down, the medical crew all was traveling in the same van, and we're looking at these buildings knowing there's probably about 10,000 people per building on a full day at 9 o'clock in the morning when the plane struck. Also noting the full destruction, too, knowing how buildings collapsed, we thought there might be some void spaces, so there was potential for some victims, but we had no idea on the actual number that we might have the ability to help.
And Mark, what was the team tasked to do the day after?
Well, the first morning we went down, we met up with a chief from the fire department in New York. There was still some buildings standing, Building 4, Building 5, and we were going to set up between Building 4 and 5. So he said, can you structurally assess these buildings? I remember we sent a team into Building 5 on the right, and they searched and assessed the building. And Building 5 still had some fire, and it was burning at the time.
What was it like?
Down at Ground Zero? I think the term that comes to mind most is surreal. You know how a beam shoots through dust and you see the dust? It was sort of like that. And then one of the other things that tend to notice is there were papers everywhere, in the fire escapes, in the trees, in the cemetery, just papers. And someone had made the observation that here's this big, two big office buildings. You'd expect to see desks, chairs, computers. None of that. All you saw was the papers. Pretty bizarre.
One of the interesting things I always remember was downstairs where the shopping centers were also how if you were in the towers and you wanted to avoid falling objects, you could go from the World Trade Center to the shopping center, and then you would come over to where we were, and there was a stairwell. I think there was an escalator and a stairwell that came up right next to Building 5. And in the street where the escalator was, there are hundreds of women's shoes, because the women would run up the escalator and then just take their shoes off. It was just a very unusual sight.
Has the episode changed you?
You certainly realize how vulnerable we could potentially be, how quickly the things can change in an instant. You know, every year when 9/11 comes up, you think about it. I think this year, probably just in the past week, you start to think a little bit deeper about it. You want to remember some things and other things you don't want to remember.
We live the moment over and over again. I mean, you go to work and you eat in the cafeteria and all the pictures are on the wall. We still do World Trade Center medical checkups every year. It doesn't leave here. I don't know if that's good or bad. I mean, it's kind of a thing we live with.
Mark Foster and Anita Arnhem of Mass Task Force 1 in Beverly. They were the first federal responders at Ground Zero on September 11th.